Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. The Haunted Contractor. My first summer after high school, I worked for my neighbor. He had a contracting business that mainly did light remodels on houses, painting, general carpentry, basic landscaping, building decks, stuff like that. The usual crew was this guy, his partner, myself, and one or two of my friends, and a general laborer or two, depending on the size of the job. About halfway through the summer, we got a job to do some cleanup on a house a few towns over, which had been neglected for a while. Repaint inside and out, fix some squeaky floors and water damage, clean up the yard, etc. It was a decent-sized house and needed a ton of work, and the estimate was that it would take about a month to do it right. The homeowners had no problem as they were not living there and were planning on selling the place. Everything inside had already been cleared out for the most part. The first few days we spent just clearing brush and stuff out of the yard so we could get equipment in to work on the exterior. Once that was done, we split off into two crews, one scraping the outside of the house and one doing work on the inside. It was the summer and the place did not have air conditioning, so the easier job was the work outside, and we would rotate who was in and who was out. To give you an idea of the layout of the house, when you walked in the front door, you had a large room off to your immediate right and left. Straight ahead of you and to your left, you had a staircase that went up to the second floor. To the right, a small bathroom, and then straight back to the kitchen and another large room. Upstairs, you had four bedrooms and two bathrooms. There was only one staircase to the second floor. We started in the front rooms, and within an hour or so, our radio started acting up. It was an older boombox type thing with a manual cassette player, and the knob was a slide for tuning the stations. In other words, it was all mechanical, not digital. At least three times the station changed on its own, from 102.7, which we were listening to other random stations. What is interesting is when it changed stations, the station it would end up on would be perfectly tuned. And the jump between stations was very quick, much quicker than a person could turn the knob and tune in the station so well, and then get away from the radio without being noticed. Like a second time, just enough time for the slide to traverse the distance to the other station. No, the radio didn't have the mechanical stations preset. At least twice when this happened, I was in the room, and while my back was turned to it, the radio was in a location where it would have been damn near impossible for someone to get to it, turn the station, and then get out of there. It was not by a window either. On a few occasions, the volume would go way up, up beyond the point that I thought this thing was capable of producing. We then moved the radio to a different room, blaming it on bad power, and the problems let up. Other strange things. Lights would go on or off while you were working, including our own portable floodlights. It wasn't the power was cut or anything, but the actual switch was thrown. You could also hear footsteps above you when you were sure nobody was upstairs. The final kicker? As we were wrapping up the work on the place, I was replacing some molding in a second floor bedroom. I had a large, heavy steel toolbox with a bunch of tools in it that must have weighed 30 or 40 pounds. One of those big craftsman jobs. I had finished off most of what I was doing and most of my stuff put away when our lunch showed up. It was raining outside, so we were all sitting in the main entranceway by the stairs. In fact, myself and another guy were sitting on the stairs. Everyone was accounted for. By this point, we were all always joking around how we were working in a haunted house due to all the strange stuff that was going on, but no one was taking it really serious. Everyone was pretty much convinced that it was a combination of an old house, our imagination, and probably a few of us screwing around with each other, causing the stuff. Mid-conversation about this, there was a giant crash from upstairs. One of the dudes freaked and just ran for the door. Myself and the dude sitting on the stairs next turned and went up the stairs. At the top of the stairs, you had a clear view of the entranceway to all of the rooms. So in the 3 seconds it took for us to climb them, nobody would be able to get out of a room without being spotted. Inside the room I've been working on, my heavy metal toolbox had been tossed across the room, its contents scattered. The time from when it happened to when I got there was so short that stuff was still rolling around. Again, this was a 30 to 40 pound toolbox, which was sitting on the floor and had been clearly tossed a good 10 feet. We checked the other rooms and of course found nothing. To go out the window, which was closed as it was raining, would have been a 15-foot drop into some nasty bushes. No ladders were up on the house, or even off the truck for that matter that day, due to the rain. Everyone working there was sitting with us while we ate, and nobody would have gotten past us and down the stairs while we checked the rooms, as there were people watching the stairs. It was pretty damn scary, and the final couple of days of us working there, everyone was really on edge. Nobody would go into rooms alone, and you could tell everyone was pretty much scared shitless. The boss mentioned the goings-on to the homeowner, who was just kind of like, whatever. A few years later, the place burned to the ground, and one of the guys I worked with that summer, who now lived in the town, sent me a story from the local paper. Turns out that the previous owner who lived there was a shut-in type person, after his wife died a decade or so prior. Didn't ever really come out much to do anything, which explained the neglect. He had died about a year prior to us working on the house, but nobody found his body for at least 6 months. The people who had hired us was his estranged son's family, who had inherited the house and were trying to sell it. The house had changed hands a couple of times in the several years after we had worked on it. Nobody ever stayed very long, and it was growing a haunted legend in the town. In the interest of brevity, I left out some of the smaller parts of the story that were strange or could have been explained away easier, but suffice to say, some weird stuff was going on while we were there. I'm not one that really believes in ghosts or anything, but I have no way of explaining some of the stuff that happened there in any rational way. Thinking about it still gives me the chills. Nobody was aware of the story behind the house when we were working there, and you could tell after the toolbox incident, everyone was truly on edge. The Lady in the Mirror. Years ago, I used to work at a hotel that was in the downtown, and the top floor is only used when the rest of the hotel is booked, so it goes a long time between uses. It's mostly ballrooms and meeting rooms and maybe 10 regular rooms total up there. I had been sent up to do some freshening before a big party booking and was working alone. Typically, room keepers work in pairs. I was straightening beds, spraying air freshener and dusting, that sort of thing. I was sort of on my guard already because I had been caught watching TV in the rooms and gotten in trouble for that, so my nerves were a little on edge already. Anyway, I kept feeling like someone was watching me. Kept thinking it was my supervisor trying to catch me with the TV on again, which, by the way, I didn't have it on. This one room at the corner is laid out differently than the rest. In that room, the mirror is opposite the door to the hallway, not next to it as is normal in all the others. I was making the bed, and I got that feeling of being watched again. So I looked over my shoulder. Nobody there. I turn around to pull on the bedspread, and there in the mirror in front of me, I can see a woman standing in the doorway. All I could see was her head over my shoulder. She was a white woman with light-colored hair and a bland expression. No malice or anything, but the room got freezing cold and I had the awfulest feeling. I turned around and looked over my shoulder into the doorway and she wasn't there. But turned back, she was still in the mirror doorway. I could not get out of there fast enough. All the skin on my whole body was crawling. It was so weird, because I'd always thought I'd be fascinated if I ever saw anything like that. I mean, a ghost, whatever. But at the time, the physical experience was like that of taking sick, sudden, and dreadful. Couldn't get warm and had the whole flight and fight thing going on. Apparently, apparitions on the 10th floor are not unusual, but they're not harmful either. I didn't go back up there that day. They had to get someone else to finish my room. I was too shaken up. The lady haunting my house. I'm a big believer of spirits and supernatural things, and I'm not a professional, just a teenage girl wanting to tell my story. When I was young, like around 2 or 4 years old, I lived in this big family house. All my family lived together. My grandmother, grandfather, 2 uncles, me and my mom. I can still remember every detail about the house. The vents on the floor had pretty details. The carpet was red, and there was lots of stairs. When I was little, my mom would try to put me to bed or take me to the bathroom, and I would scream and cry and tell her over and over there was a lady upstairs. At night, I would crawl out of my bed and sleep on the stairs until the adults went to bed. My mom was worried and took me to the doctors. She probably thought I was a psycho who was only 2 years old. But the doctor said, "How could a little kid that young lie?" Time passed and my mom and I moved out of the house. Meanwhile, the rest of my family stayed. We moved away, and only 2 years later we moved back into the same house. I was older, around 5 or 6, and I remember going upstairs, still scared, but I was snooping for my birthday presents. I opened my closet door, and the lady was standing there looking at me. I turned around, started running to the stairs, and as I was turning the corner to head down the stairs, I saw her spread her arms and try to lean over me. I fell and slid all the way down the stairs. After that, I would sleep in my own room alone. I felt like I was being watched. The doors would open and close. No one believed me. My grandma tried to say, "Maybe it was your guardian angel." Then one night, my mom woke up at 3:30 in the morning. She said there was a flash of light. She looked at the clock. It was 3:30 when she laid back down and looked up, and the lady was hovering over on top of her. My mom just put the covers over her head like a little kid. That's when she started to believe me. After that, my dog started barking all the time and growling for no reason. We would hear footsteps and things would open and close. So after a while, my grandparents moved out to an apartment building for older people, and my uncle moved out. We called a priest to come bless the house, but we moved out before he had a chance to come. The next people who moved in had 5 children. My grandma and me went back to check on our mail, and we started talking to the lady. She started telling us about weird things that had been happening, like her baby swing was off, and when she came back down the stairs, it was on maximum speed. I haven't been back to the house since I was like 6 years old, but sometimes I like to drive past the house just to see it. I do miss the house, but I wonder what the lady wanted. I don't think she liked kids, but you're probably thinking, you were so young, how can you remember? I can remember everything to a T. So many years of terror. And I was 8 years old, my mom and dad purchased a home located in California. They got a great deal on the house and were thrilled at its location and the town where it was at. I recall the first time I entered the house, I said to my mom, "It is so dark in here." My mom reassured me that with a little paint and new drapes, it would be bright and sunny. I think that the darkness I noticed wasn't just because of the dark walls and drapes. There was something much darker hidden in the seams of the house. This darkness didn't stay hidden for long. Before we moved our belongings into the home, my dad and one of his friends went to the house to refinish the hardwood floors. They were in for a challenging set of experiences. When they turned on the sander, the radio would blast. When they turned off the radio, the light would go on. Then the electricity would shut off. They checked the fuses, but none of them were burnt out. My dad called the power company. The man who came out said there was nothing wrong with the connection from the power pole to the house. He told my dad that he needed to call an electrician. The electrician witnessed a strange and inexplicable relation between unrelated switches and the response from remote locations throughout the house. The electrician told my dad that the entire house needed to be rewired. To their surprise, after this announcement, all the electrical appliances and lights worked as expected. All returned to normal operation at that time. This stunt repeated many times over the years. We just had to wait it out because there was nothing wrong with the fuses, the fuse box, the connection to the power pole. There was no technical explanation. I will say that being in a totally dark house due to the actions of invisible intruders was quite terrifying. We were at their mercy, and they had little to no mercy. After we moved into the house, we immediately noted that at times it sounded as if someone was walking across the floor, or there would be what sounded like knocking on various doors throughout the house. The back door would open and slam close, which would be followed by what sounded like footsteps coming up the stairs. My parents explained to me that these sounds were the sounds of the house settling. Often when I went to bed at night, I would hear heavy breathing right by my face. My parents told me this was what the water heater sounded like at night when it was heating the water. I would hear my mother call, and when I answered, she would say she did not call me, and vice versa. I often found long auburn hairs in my bedroom. I couldn't figure this out. I didn't know anyone with auburn hair. My parents became acquainted with the next door neighbors. They commented to Mom and Dad that they hoped that they lived there longer than other people that had moved in. The house had always been sold, never rented, but it was rare for any family to live there more than 3 months. The neighbors had lived next door for over 20 years. There were times when I woke up with someone holding onto my ankles and pulling me off the end of the bed. This terrified me. When I told my parents, they assured me that I was only having a nightmare. I woke up in the morning to find pieces clipped from my hair. This left short, jagged pieces I couldn't style. My mom told me this was from the pin curls I used. One afternoon, I was in my bedroom and couldn't shake the feeling that someone was staring at me. This gave me the creeps, so I decided to go out to the living room. In that, I felt so uneasy. I stepped down the first step in front of the door and reached around the corner to turn off the light. When I turned off the light, I saw a young woman sitting on the bed right next to where I had been sitting. She had long auburn hair. She was transparent. I didn't believe in ghosts. My parents had told me over and over again there was no such thing. Now I was faced with the terrifying reality of a ghost sitting on my bed. I ran to the front bathroom, slammed and locked the door. Then it dawned on me that if she was a ghost, and what they say about ghosts was true, she could walk through the wall and I would be locked inside with her. I unlocked the door and ran to the living room in the front of the house. In the morning, I told my parents about my experience. They exchanged glances, and then they told me that they knew that the house was haunted. The ghost I described to them is the one they called Florence. It took them about 3 years to believe the house was haunted. They didn't believe it until they had exhausted themselves by sneaking through the house, trying to find the intruders making all the noises, and never finding anything. Then one night, when they had just gotten into bed, turned off the lights, and above the end of their bed were two floating heads staring at them. They both saw these apparitions and could not deny what they saw. This put them on a trek of using a Ouija board to try to communicate with a ghost. Knowing what I do now know about the response to this board by earthbound spirits, I'm certain this practice only made things worse. There were many ghosts. I only saw two fully manifest apparitions, but my parents saw and experienced many more. I saw things, but only two specific ones. It was a common experience to see items such as books fly across the room. One time my mom was taking a nap on the couch in the living room. The couch seemed to be shaking. She opened her eyes to discover that the couch was being transported by floating across the room with her on top of it. One could explain doors opening and closing by themselves being due to not being latched properly, and a breeze caused it to open and close. This explanation could not be applied to the sliding door between the second and third bedrooms. This sliding door often slammed open or closed. This was very unsettling. Quite a few times, my parents came into my room in the middle of the night to see why I was screaming. I was not aware of screaming. As far as I knew, I was sound asleep. They would describe the screaming as if I had seen bloody heads rolling across the floor. There were times my parents acted out of character. They would be much harsher than one would expect. Shortly before my mom passed away, she told me that the change of life made her strange. I asked her what she meant, and she told me that one time she was chatting across the picket fence with our elderly neighbor. She said that it took all her strength to force herself to go back into our house without attacking and strangling the neighbor. I told her, "Mom, that wasn't the change of life. It was the ghosts. The ghosts made them say and do different things that were out of character. I could see it in their eyes and in their mannerisms that they were different, not themselves. I experienced times when I was attacked, pushed, and manhandled by the ghost. I told my parents, and they told me that I was letting my imagination run away with me. The invalidation of my experiences made life very difficult for me, as there was no one I could turn to for help. Family and friends that visited were often treated to a ghost experience, from simple footsteps and door knocking to having their blankets pulled off of them in the middle of the night by unseen hands. One time my aunt was at our house for my birthday party. It was too late for her to drive all the way home, but she didn't want to sleep in the house. She slept out in our travel trailer with my teenage slumber party. One time we were watching television when Hans Holzer and Sybil Leek were visiting San Francisco. They were ghost hunters. They announced that if anyone thought their house was haunted, that they would be glad to come out and get rid of the ghosts. I begged my parents to call them. They didn't want to because they didn't want anyone in the area to know the house was haunted. They said that when they sold the house, that such information would prevent them from getting a good price. I was so hopeful and then crestfallen. When my parents retired and put the house on the market, the ghosts became especially active. We had occupied the house for 15 years, and I think the ghosts were pretty happy with the arrangement. My dad told my mom that he wanted to move into the travel trailer so they didn't have to be concerned with constantly cleaning and preparing for the stream of realtors coming to the house with potential buyers. Then one morning, my dad announced that he was lowering the price in the house by a considerable amount. We all tried to discourage him from doing it, since they were counting on the profit from the sale to buy retirement property and perhaps build a home. He wouldn't listen to our arguments. The house sold that day. Mom and I were sitting in the kitchen while Dad walked the new owners out to their car. Mom and I heard the back door open and slam closed. We heard footsteps coming up the back steps. We got up together and looked down the hall to the stairway. We could still hear the footsteps ascending the stairs, but there was no one to be seen. After they moved all of their things out of the house, handed over the keys, and had left the property for good, Dad confided why he insisted on moving into the trailer and lowering the price on the house. The night before they moved out into the trailer, my dad was startled awake by a hand over his mouth and nose. He was being suffocated by the man ghost, who we had come to call Dave. Dad was a strong guy, but he said that it took all the strength he had to wrestle away from the grip of the ghost. Dad turned to me and apologized for not believing me. We heard that the first renter in the house was a minister. I was elated, thinking that a minister might pray the ghost out of the house. The minister moved out almost as soon as he had moved in. After a series of short-term renters, the house was replaced by an apartment building. Neighbors told my parents that the house had been moved. I don't know if the house was moved, and if it was moved, I wondered if the ghosts go with the house or haunt the apartment building built on the site. I know I would never want to go back and find out for myself. Strange noises. In 2003, I had a girlfriend who had just moved into a manufactured house. I pretty much lived with her. My life was miserable at the time. As the weeks went by, she told me she thought that the house was haunted and that she kept hearing noises and seeing things out of the corner of her eye. I just chalked it up to her overactive imagination. As more weeks went by, I started to believe what she was saying. The house just seemed like it was somewhat active. I too was hearing these noises at night and seeing things in my peripheral vision, more so than at my parents' house or just most anywhere else. But yet, I was still skeptical until a series of three nights, all three nights in a row. It wasn't unusual for me to stay with her four and five nights in a row, but something was different about these three nights. We headed for bed around 10 p.m. on a Tuesday night. For some reason, this night, I was having trouble sleeping. My girl was asleep in minutes. At around 11 p.m., I began to hear a very faint but strange noise. It sounded as if someone was slamming a very big metal door, shut and open, shut and open, over and over again. You know, like one of those big dungeon doors from an old medieval castle. Not like someone smashing a sledgehammer against a steel beam. Very strange, I thought, but very faint, as if in the distance. I tried to ignore it, but it wouldn't go away. And as the time was passing, it was slowly getting louder, as if it was approaching me or something. About an hour passed, and I was relieved that it went away. I told my girlfriend about it the next morning, but she had heard nothing. Wednesday evening, more of the same. We went to sleep around 10 p.m., but yet I still found it hard to sleep, and the noise persisted this night too, but was noticeably louder than the night before. I even awoke my girlfriend to ask her if she could hear the strange sound, and she looked astonished. She had no clue what I was talking about. I was thinking that I was starting to go crazy or something. It was strange because the noise only persisted with my eyes closed and would slowly get louder and dissipate within about an hour. I thought maybe it was all some weird dream or something. I didn't know what to think. Then came Thursday evening as we were heading for bed. I became sort of apprehensive about trying to sleep, but I went along to bed anyway with my girl. Around the same time as the nights before, at first I was relieved that this night seemed quiet, but then it started. This night was different than the first two. The noise started significantly louder this time. The noise pierced my ears. The noise was so loud that it made my whole head physically rattle every time it repeated itself. This time I opened my eyes and the noise continued louder and louder. My ears began to hurt very intensely with each clash of metal. How could this be, I thought. How could she still be sleeping? It's as loud as a freight train. Then I looked out her bedroom door and froze solid. The noise ceased. What looked like a small human figure, more of a black mist, seemed to dissipate. I woke my girlfriend and explained to her what happened. She looked at me like I was nuts. She had heard nothing. After this night, I never experienced anything like this again at her house. Something about those three nights was not right. I know a couple of things, though. I wasn't dreaming. That noise actually caused me physical pain in my ears. Something was in the doorway of her room. I never again doubted her when she told me she saw or heard something. For the rest of my life, I will never forget those three nights. The writing on the wall. There was a time when I was growing up back in Indiana that we were remodeling part of an old house. We'd peel the wallpaper off the walls around the stairway that went up to my bedroom and had just put on a fresh layer of spackling compound to level off and even out the old plaster in preparation for gluing cork and mirror tiles on the walls the next day. This was the 1970s. In the middle of the night, I got up to go downstairs to pee. There was a rocking chair in my room that the family cat named Rascal liked to sleep in at night. With my glasses off, everything was blurry, and there was just enough moonlight and the street light through the two windows at opposite ends of the room. One window was at the top of the stairs. I thought I was seeing Rascal's fuzzy white shape in that old wooden rocker, so I leaned down to pet him on my way to the steps. But as I reached down, my hand passed through the fuzzy, furry white blob I thought was the cat, and my fingertips touched the rough material of the cushion he would have been sleeping on. There was a sudden cold tingling feeling, like an electrical charge, except it was really, really cold. It chilled my hand to above the wrist almost immediately. This is gonna sound weird, but its outermost edges gathered blue as I looked at it. My mind was still in shock from my hand passing through my cat, and I know it doesn't make much sense now, but it felt like it was drawing blue out of the room, and the tingling intensified till my elbow hurt. Then whatever it was took off through the back of the chair, moving fast, like I'd startled it. It shot across the room and over to the staircase, an elliptical blob of bluish-white light that never touched the floor, but rolled in the air, slightly churning as it moved. Stupid as it might sound, I chased after it. It shot over to the stairwell, then down, keeping itself above the steps and sort of leaning into the wall until it finally passed through the wall and out of the house somewhere just shy of the other side of the landing. I was still at the top of the stairs and looked out the window and down, trying to see if I could find it moving out of the house. I caught sight of it briefly, just a glimpse as it darted above the hedges and tomato plants in the side yard, then suddenly shot upwards out of sight. As it moved up, it seemed to peel backwards, like it was turning itself inside out, just before it disappeared. When I stopped seeing it, it was about 10 feet above my head and almost halfway across the neighbor's backyard. That thing moved fast and weird. I kept watching the sky for a few minutes to see if there was anything else out there, till I really did have to pee. So I went down the stairs and over to the bathroom to relieve myself, then went back to bed. It was awful late in the night, and I didn't figure anyone would want to be woken up just to hear about something that was already over, so I went back to bed. When I woke up the next day and walked down the stairs, the spackling compound was dried and would have been ready for settling tile, except now it was all scratched up. But it wasn't like claw marks, which you would have expected to follow a straight path or make curving arcs lifting the compound, if it really was the stupid cat and I just imagined everything else in the moonlight. No, these marks were more like a series of badly drawn lightning bolts. It looked like they'd been squiggled into the compound. They were all jaggedy, in short, almost methodical bursts, like someone was writing something but forgot how to use the alphabet. But the really weird thing goes like this. The spackling compound wasn't dragged through. I don't know how to explain this, but hang in there with me for a minute. Imagine dragging your finger through some cake frosting. That's pretty much the consistency of spackling compound, to make letter Z like Zorro would. Notice how the frosting is displaced outward by the movement of your finger? Notice how the heaviest amount of frosting ends up in a little pile pushed at the end where you lifted your finger away from the cake to lick the frosting. Notice how the frosting lifted up with you to follow your finger as long as it could before separating and falling back slightly. Now, here's the really weird thing. With these markings on the wall, there was no heaviest edge or end anywhere, period. All along, all those little jagged, letterish shapes, the displacement was even, as if you'd started at the center of each axis and pushed evenly outwards to displace the mud. That's what you'd call spackling compound. Even, smooth, uniform displacement. Everywhere. Plus, when I said these things were letterish, I meant that they were of fairly uniform height and consistent width, pretty much like you were scribbling something down in a hurry. Yeah, I know, alien space ghost graffiti from the other side, but this really could have been some kind of writing. It looked that intentional, know what I mean? Believe me, my brother and I studied these markings a long time, twisting around to look at these things from all angles, even holding up a mirror to look at them backwards, before we had to smear on the glue and tile them over.